Hello, and welcome to the She Flourishes podcast, a weekly soul-stirring conversation that lifts you out of the funk and into the flourishing life so you can live life as the best version of you. I'm your host, Brenda Jasmine. For the past 11 years, I've been coaching women and leading personal development workshops as a speaker and mindset coach. She Flourishes is an extension of those workshops and conversations and is designed to help you create the flourishing life that you were meant to live. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the last episode of the She Flourishes podcast for 2023. We are in the last few days now of the year and 2024 is almost here. And today I want to share with you something that I have been doing for the past, I think it's now almost 16 years and possibly even longer than that. At the end of every year, I do something called a year-end ritual, or some people like to call it a year-end review. And what I do during this time is I look at the year that has just passed or is just ending. And sometimes I do this, you know, right around New Year's Eve. And sometimes I wait until, you know, sometimes I even do it as late as the third week of January, where I take a look at the previous year and do a little assessment or a little inventory of the year. And I do this before I start setting goals for the new year. So I'm so excited because I'm going to share this with you today. I find that for me, this, before I jump into setting goals, this is so powerful. And it's powerful for a number of reasons. One of the key reasons it's powerful is that we don't have the best memories and the best of times, no matter what our age. You know, we actually, you know, we have a hard time remembering, like, especially a whole 12 months, right? All the different things that happened in the past 12 months. So taking the time to really think about what's happened over the past 12 months can be helpful. And, you know, there's something called the recency effect, where we really only think about, you know, the last few weeks. So if your last, you know, November and December haven't been that great, you know, you'll go in, you'll think, oh, well, this is really just what 2023 was all about. And I think we're really robbing ourselves if we don't take the time to look and see how far we've come and to take time to look at not just the good things, but also some of the challenges. And a metaphor that can help you with this is to think about, and, you know, here at the She Flourishes podcast, we're talking about flourishing and thriving. So imagine, you know, your life, you know, if it's like a garden. And so a gardener, before they start planting for the new year, they take a look and they assess, you know, the growth, like what grew this year and where did the weeds come up, right? And where did we have to get rid of weeds? What blossoms were the most beautiful blossoms and the flowers in the garden? So they take a look at the previous season before they start planning for the new season. And so just like the garden, you know, when we take a look at our previous year, we can prune away what no longer serves us and we can nurture the seeds of new potential and really cultivate a vision for what that new growth is going to look like and to create a more vibrant and a more flourishing future in both our personal and our professional lives. So although I'm not a big gardener, I love this metaphor of a garden when we're thinking about our lives and thinking about, you know, we need to prune away what no longer serves us. And we really want to flourish in 2024. So let's take a moment to stop and really assess. And some other reasons to do this are that when we take the time to look at the past year, we can really learn from our experience, right? So, you know, if you just jump headlong into the new year or head first into the new year, then you aren't really taking the time to learn not only from the successes of the previous year, but also the challenges. And we can really gain some valuable insights from that. Another reason to review is that it really allows us to assess our values and our priorities and look at what truly matters and look and see what goals are in alignment with your core values and your authentic self. And when you finally do go to set goals, that you can make sure that those goals are meaningful, purposeful, and fulfilling. Another reason to review the previous year is that, like I was saying, you know, we can sometimes only remember what recently happened, but it can really boost our confidence and motivation. It can remind us of our strengths, of our capabilities, of what we accomplished in the previous year and what we got through as well. It can also help us to avoid repeating mistakes and to really be intentional. So sometimes by looking at the past year, we can see some recurring patterns that maybe didn't serve us well, or, you know, something we've been spending a lot of time and energy on isn't reaping the benefits that maybe we thought it was. And so taking that time to avoid repeating mistakes or maybe break some patterns that aren't serving us. And then finally, what reviewing the previous year can do is it can increase our self-awareness. And this is a key for personal development. We want to be able to take the time to look at our strengths, our weaknesses, the areas that we need to improve. And this will help us to set those goals that really make sense for the new year and to be really to really create a clear and purposeful path for the year ahead. So hopefully that's convinced you to take some time to do a year-end ritual, and I'm going to share mine with you. So there are actually 7 steps to doing this process. And so step number one, and probably the best thing is for you to listen to this episode. If you're not driving or walking or hiking, you can maybe take some notes, or you can just listen and then you can come back and you can go through this with me and, you know, maybe press pause at each stage. I'll let you decide how you want to do it. But the first step, so step number one for the year-end ritual, and I should mention too, this is adapted from Cheryl Richardson. So I've made this into my own year-end review and ritual, but I first came across it, the first time I can remember was in 2007. Cheryl Richardson, she wrote the book, she's written a number of best-selling books. One of my favorites of hers is called Take Time for Your Life, which I read in 2000, and that was a life-changing book for me. So she had a newsletter where she did these life makeovers. You might remember she used to be on Oprah doing life makeovers. She has had this newsletter in 2007 where she talked about her year-end ritual. And I think that's the earliest one I can find in my notes. So I think I've been doing it for at least 16 years now. So Cheryl Richardson, this is different, what I'm going to share with you today, but it's adapted from originally what she produced in 2007. So the first step is to set some time aside. So set aside some time when you're not going to be distracted, when you can really just focus on that time for you. And you're going to need a few items here. So first thing you're going to need is your calendar from 2023. You're going to need your photos. Most people have them in their phones these days. So all the photos that you took in 2023, and often our calendars are on our phones as well. I'm old school, so I still have my paper calendar, my paper day timer. So whatever you use as your calendar, your photos. And if you're someone who keeps a journal, whether it's a daily journal or a gratitude journal, or maybe if you're like me, I've kept a journal actually since I was in grade 5 when I had that Judy Blume journal. I don't know if anyone else had one of those, but I write in my journal just whenever I feel like it. And so oftentimes in the morning, I'll write in my journal. And so the reason you want to have your journal is to look through, and this is optional, but you can look through your journal posts or look for themes in your journal from the past year. So you need to set aside some time. You need your calendar, photos, a journal, And you might even, another thing you might want to do is have access to your social media. And I'll explain in a moment why. So your Facebook or your Instagram account, you might want to be able to look that up as well. So that's step number one, is to set aside some time. And the other thing you might want to do here is, what I like to do is I like to curl up with a blanket by the fire in a cozy chair and make myself a cup of tea or, I don't know, some eggnog or whatever it is, your favorite beverage, and sit down, ideally a non-alcoholic because you want to be able to think straight, and sit down, curl up with these items. And you're going to now, step number two, look at the themes and highlights from each month. So there's a couple different ways of doing this. What I often do is I'll start with my calendar. And oh yeah, the other thing you're going to need, sorry, I should have mentioned, along with a journal or maybe just a notebook. So somewhere where you can write some notes to with what you've come up with. So the first thing is you're going to look through, what I do is my calendar. And so what I'll do is I'll put January, and then I go through my calendar and I'll list some of the themes and highlights from that month. And so a calendar is a great way just to jog your memory. Like, oh yeah, I went on that weekend getaway, or oh, I went skiing up at Blue Mountain, or whatever you maybe did that month, or you had a special anniversary or birthday or occasion that happened. So take a moment and just jot down any key themes or highlights that you see in your calendar. So next, you can actually go through then to February through to December, and you can just look at your calendar. Or another thing you can do is just do each month one at a time. So after you've looked at your calendar for January, then look at your photos for January. So this is, again, a way to collect what happened. So by looking at your photos, you can, again, see some themes and highlights. And you can say, oh, you know, in January, I was going on a lot of hikes, or, you know, I was exercising a lot, or whatever it was. You know, maybe you remember, oh, yeah, I went out for dinner, that spontaneous dinner, and maybe it wasn't in your calendar. So just write down some themes and highlights based then on your photos for each month. So I have done it both ways. This year, I actually did my whole calendar first, and I took all the themes and highlights for each month out of my calendar, and then I went to my photos for each month and added the things that I missed. So there'll be some overlap, obviously. You know, if you went on a trip, you'll see now the photos from your trip in that month, or whatever, if it was an occasion, you'll see it there. So the idea is to gather all the themes and highlights from each month by looking at your calendar, looking at your photos, and then you can also go through your journal entries. And again, either do this month by month, or do look at, you know, all the calendar months, then all the photos, and then all your journal entries. I don't always get into the journal entries because I'm a big journaler, and so that can take a lot of time. So it's up to you whether you want to do that, or a gratitude journal is great because it reminds you. And then the other thing, the reason I mentioned social media, and you can, this depends on how much you post, but one thing that can be really helpful is to look at your Facebook, look at your Instagram, and see what did you post during each of those months. Because oftentimes, what do we post? We post our highlights, right? So, or different themes. So that's another way to gather information about the, for step number two, which is looking at the themes and highlights for each month of 2023. Okay, once you've done all that, step number three is to now look at what you've got in front of you. And sometimes I even take a few days to do this because this is a lot to do in one sitting. So step number three is to look at what were the big things that happened this year. So what were the top themes, highlights, or occasions from the year? Some people say, you know, pare it down to three. I sometimes do that. I sometimes like to say, well, what were the maybe top, you know, 5 to 10 things that happened this year? It depends on how much you've had going on. But really look at what were the big things that happened for you in the past year. and just jot those down so that you know. And it can be occasions. It can be things happening in your family. Like for us, we had a family wedding. One of my nephews got married. Another one of my nephews got engaged. So we had, you know, a couple of family events. Another thing that happened was, you know, my son, he graduated from high school and then he started university. So he moved out of the house. And then we thought we were going to be empty nesters, but then my daughter switched programs. And so she moved from Nova Scotia back to Ontario. So we had some family changes this year. So just look at, you know, because that helps you to think about the context of the previous year. Step number four is to take some time and look at what did you accomplish that you're proud of? So ask yourself, what did I accomplish that I'm proud of? So what were the successes of the year? What were the contributions that you made? What personal quality did you develop this year that you're really proud of? And take a moment. And again, this is really important because by the time December rolls around, we might forget about the accomplishment that we had in March or April. And by looking at the previous year, you can say, oh yeah, this time last year, I was working on this area of my life. And now, 12 months later, I've really improved in that area. So for me, I take ski lessons, not every year, but I took ski lessons last year. So something, you know, I'm already like an intermediate level skier, but you can always learn. You can always get better at skiing. And so I taking those lessons, I became a better skier. So that's something I'm proud of. Another thing I'm proud of is this podcast. I recorded and we produced 53 episodes, including this one, of the She Flourishes podcast in this past year. And that's something I'm really proud of. And not only because, you know, we, you know, kept the podcast, you know, we did all of that and all of those episodes, but also that for me, doing something consistently every single week of the year and producing something consistently, that was a really big deal for me. And I learned a lot about myself by doing that. So what are the accomplishments you're proud of? And it could also be, you know, volunteer work. It could be contributions that you made, maybe something you did to make the world a better place. One of the things is I'm part of this fundraiser. We've been doing it the last couple years. It's the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. And I'm a co-team lead of this group. And we were the third largest amount of funds of any community team in Canada this year. And so that felt like our team, that was a really big accomplishment that I felt really proud of as well, being able to contribute. And we raised over $12,000. So think about all the different things that you did over the past year. Step number five, and this is a really important one, is to take a moment and think about what did you get through that was really tough? So, you know, not the whole year is going to have, yes, successes, accomplishments, contributions, but oftentimes we get through something that's really tough. And some years, we know, right? Some years are tougher than others. And so, you know, maybe you had a disappointment. Maybe you had a health challenge. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you ran into some financial difficulties. Maybe you lost a job or your partner lost their job, or maybe something's going on with one of your kids. And so take a moment, and maybe you're still in the thick of it right now. So, and that's okay too. But you know, you've gotten through it so far, right? So take a moment and really look at what did I get through this year? Or what am I still getting through that's really tough? One of the things we're learning with, you know, with positive psychology, there was this first wave that was considered all about, you know, authentic happiness. How do you create long-lasting happiness? And now the second wave of positive psychology talks a lot more about resilience. And what is it that helped you? What are the things that have helped you to become the person you are today? What helped you to develop the strengths that you have today? And oftentimes, it's because of the difficulties that we got through that have made us into the people we are today. And one thing we know for sure is that all of us have gotten through 100% of the challenges that we've had in our lives. Otherwise, we wouldn't still be here. So taking a moment to look back and say, you know what, that was really tough and I got through it. Or that was really tough and I'm still dealing with it. And I'm really, you know, it's not been easy, but I'm getting through it. And to give yourself a pat on the back, but really to acknowledge what it is, what the challenges were from the past year. And as I said, some years it's going to be bigger challenges than others. And it can be the small things that you've had to get through that have been tough, or things that, you know, and when we look back in the moment, and again, it's not that we're looking at focusing on the negative. What we're doing is we're focusing on the challenges that these are the things that make us stronger. So, and also to acknowledge, like, it hasn't maybe been a bed of roses this past year and you got through, because that's going to help you to remember that whatever 2024 has in store and the future, that you can get through difficult things, right? You can come out the other side of it. So that's number five. And, you know, I know for me, like this year, I feel like, you know, there hasn't been any like really major difficult things to get through. But there have been things like, you know, our dog has had to have a couple of surgeries and, you know, we were told that she might have an aggressive cancer and might only have a year to live. And if you have a dog, you know where I'm coming from. Before I had a dog, I never really understood when people were upset about their dogs and not being well. But now I really get it. Luckily, she's okay. But she had the surgeries and we had to get these cancerous lumps removed. And so that was, you know, something that was a worry I've been dealing with. Those of you that know me, I've had some dental work done this year. That's something I had to deal with, and that has not been fun. And I'm still dealing with it now into 2024. I need to go back and have some more, another dental surgery done, and that's not fun. But guess what? You know, got through it. And just even the life transitions, right? Of having my youngest leave home to go to school. Like that's been, bittersweet, right? It's been wonderful to see him launch out into the world, but it's also, I miss him, right? So that's been tough too. So there's things that happen that are really, really tough. I had something I was working on this year, and I won't get into all the details of it, but I had a big project for my business I was working on that I spent months on, and it didn't come to fruition. So I actually had a really big disappointment with my business this year. And I'm still, you know, working through that and figuring out the lessons learned with that. But that was definitely something that that was tough to get through. And it was, again, not like a life-threatening thing, but it was a big disappointment. And so, you know, looking at the things in our lives that we either have gotten through or are in the process of getting through that are tough. Take some time to look at that. Step number six, it's kind of linked to the last one, but not just the tough things or challenges, but to look at what lessons did you learn? And so this is where I would say, like, what are the top three lessons or the top five lessons you learned over the past year? These can be really positive lessons. Like, you know, I learned about myself that I can be consistent with doing an episode of the podcast every week, right? That's something that I've learned about myself. Maybe there's something you've learned about life. Maybe there's something you've learned about others. Maybe there's something that, you know, it was linked to a disappointment. I have something now that I've learned in my business I'm going to change. I learned the hard way, right? And so, but I'm going to take that lesson as I move forward. So as I said earlier, one of the things we want to do is not repeat patterns or behaviors or repeat past mistakes. And I don't even like to use the word mistake. I just say, well, what did we learn, right? What are the lessons? So if you're someone sitting there thinking, oh, I really screwed up this year, I really messed up, or I made a mistake, this is where you really can flip it and say, actually, you know what? I learned something. What did I learn from that? And how can I take that moving forward? And if you need some help in this area too, or in any of the areas, what you can do is, you know, they have the Wheel of Life, and, you know, you see it, there's different categories where you look at all the different facets or categories of your life. And so I'll just share, like, there's all different ones, but here's some categories you can use if you're thinking about what are the lessons you learned this past year. You can look at, you know, personal growth as one category. Another one can be your relationships. Another one is your health and wellness, and this could be your emotional, physical, or spiritual health. You can look at your finances as a life category. Another category is purpose, meaning, and contribution. Another one is your passions, your interests, your intellectual pursuits. Another one is work and career. And another one is your physical environment. So, you know, maybe this year you decluttered and you feel really great about what you did to improve your physical environment, or maybe you moved or you did something that was really great for your physical environment. So these are all the different areas that you can look at if you choose to look and see what are the lessons. And this is something, I'll just make a note here too before I go into the final step. And that is that the original year-end review, and you will see, sometimes they'll say, like, look at every category of your life and look at, you know, where are you right now and where did you learn and what did you improve upon? And you can look at each category of your life and you can take that approach. I find, though, when I do that is I start to spiral into what are all the things wrong in each area of my life. And it's not to say, you know, we can look at areas we want to improve and we can get into that when we start getting into goal setting. What I have found is that by diving into each category, then I start sort of getting in the weeds and I start getting into all the things I want to fix about myself and my life. Whereas this approach kind of keeps us at a little bit of a higher level. And I want you to be definitely thinking about the challenges and what you've learned. But I also want you to be really thinking about, you know, what did you accomplish? So it really boosts that confidence and motivation and momentum for the year ahead. So finally, step number 7, as you're doing this year-end ritual and review, and this is the final step, is to have gratitude, to practice gratitude, or take some time to look at what you're grateful for from the previous year. So based on everything that happened in the previous year, what are you grateful for? So, you know, I'm grateful for, you know, when I looked back over the past year, I did a lot of fun things. I was invited to a few different cottages this summer and doing different things. And I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for time I've spent with family and with friends. I'm grateful that my dog is okay. I'm grateful that, you know, I live in a country where I can go and get the dental work that I need and not have to live with, you know, tooth pain. So what are all the things you're grateful for? Take time to really think about what you are grateful for, the good things that happened in the past year that you feel gratitude for. And that's a great way to end, because gratitude is something that can help boost your mood. It's something that gets us out of that negativity bias where we look at the good things. And again, I just love this year-end ritual because I think it really puts us in a powerful place for planning for the year ahead. And before we start, you know, as I said at the beginning, the metaphor of the garden, right? Before you start planting the seeds for the new year and plan how you're going to flourish, look at the past year and really take that time and see, you know, what do you need to prune away? What do you need to let go of? And until you really assess what happened in 2023, it's not as strategic, right, to plan for the new year until we look at sort of the current, take that current assessment of where you are now. And I want to leave you with one thing that I was looking up some of the stuff that Cheryl Richardson had posted about this in the past. And she has this post, I don't know if she's still doing it, but something that she used to post on social media around this time. And it's something along the lines of, you know, what if the only thing you resolved to do in the new year is to love yourself more. So what if all you resolved to do in 2024 was to love yourself more? What would that look like? And when I read that, I have to say, like, I just took a moment and I just, I let out a deep breath and I just felt the weight of the world come off my shoulders. Like, there's something about that. Like, instead of thinking of all the things we want to do better and all the striving and fixing, to take a moment and say, wow, you know, what would it look like to love yourself more in 2024? And I love how that rhymes. But what could you do? And what would that look like? And I was having this conversation with someone and they said, yeah, what does it mean? Like, how do you love yourself more? There are different ways, but you know, one of the things that we can do is to have compassion for ourselves. And there's a couple of episodes I've done with Vanessa Woodburn that you can go back and look at. One is on fierce self-compassion, that one we did a few weeks ago. And another one just on self-compassion in general. And one of the things Vanessa says is, you know, can you talk to yourself like someone you love? So one of the things we can do is really quiet that inner critic and turn up the volume on that loving voice and think about, how do we talk to people we love? How do we talk to our friends? How do we talk to our children that we love, right? So turning that on yourself and saying, how can I talk to myself like someone I love, or treat myself like someone I love? And it's funny because we think that, oh, I have to be hard on myself, right? I have to crack the whip and make myself do all these things. And that might work in the short term, but in the long term, it's that self-love. It's when we take the time to, you know, think about your children, right? You love them. And so if you're a parent, you don't feed them sugar all the time, right? Just because that's what they want. You feed them, you make sure they have vegetables and protein. And so if you're treating yourself like someone, you know, you really love, and you're caring for yourself in that way, you're not going to be eating sugar all the time, right? You are going to exercise, you are going to eat better, or whatever those different goals are that you have in your life. So I invite you to just sit with that. I've been playing around with that in my mind over the last little bit, ever since I read that, and sort of journaling about it and just thinking, and I'm not saying not to set other goals, but there is something about just giving yourself that grace. I think that for me is what it's about. It's that, you know, not always not being hard on myself to be perfect all the time or do everything just right, but to give myself that grace and to resolve to love myself more in the new year. And I really invite you to just try that on and see how that feels for you. So we have our 7 steps. So I'll just review them and then we'll wrap up. So step number 1 is to set aside some time for yourself to do the year-end ritual. And so you want to have your calendar, your photos, your journal, your social media, and a notebook on hand. Step number 2 is look at the themes and highlights from each month. Step number 3 is to look at what were the big things that happened this year. And so that's where you can pare down all the themes and highlights and occasions. Step number 4, what did you accomplish that you're proud of? Step number 5, what did you get through that was really tough? Step number 6, what lessons did you learn? So what are the top 3 to 5 lessons that you learned in 2023? And then step number 7 is to have gratitude. Think about what you're grateful for from the year that has just passed. So I can't wait to hear how this year-end ritual goes for you. I'm so excited because this is something I don't think I've shared this publicly before. So I'm really happy to be able to share this with you. And I know that you're going to love it and start doing this every year. And you can do this with friends, if you're part of a mastermind, or I know some people sit down with friends or family or with their partner, or you could sit down and do it and then compare notes afterwards. So take some time to do that. And I'll do another episode in the new year that has more to do with goals. So once you've done your year-end review and your year-end ritual, then you're in that better place. And I'll share some of the science of goal setting and some of the positive psychology information around a goal setting. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I wish you a wonderful end of the year. Happy New Year. I hope you're getting some time to relax over the holidays. And thank you so much for listening to the show. Please share this episode with your friends because this really is a powerful tool. And you can take the episode and you can text it or email it to your friends and give them the gift of this year-end ritual as well. Thanks so much. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the She Flourishes podcast. I hope this episode has inspired you to keep on creating the flourishing life you deserve. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend who would benefit from it. And remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening. To learn more about how you can live a flourishing life, head over to brendajasmine.com or follow me on Instagram at _brendajasmine. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, keep on sharing your gifts with the world. See you soon.